Blog Talk Radio. Hi all, and welcome to another week of Cosmic Voice with Drake and I on August the 28th. Last week we had a bit of a drama show. Unpleasant. This week there'll be none of that. The focus of the show is back to the collective and less about the individuals. And so on that note, I'm going to hand you over to Drake.
Are you sure you want me to have this?
I sure do.
All right. Well, we got fun games all over the place. I don't know if anybody's really paying attention and watching close, but I'll pick on the EU first. Everybody's heard about the trade deal, Trans-Pacific Partnership off the West Coast, and some of the things that go on with it. Now we get one that has something to do with the East Coast, something about the Atlantic Partnership, where the European Union and others get directly involved in trade, same kind of trade arrangements. Only problem is, nobody can get a hold of any, and I mean none, of the documentation. It is super secret. Yeah, here we go again. go to the boiler room, man. Let's make a deal. We don't care who we do what to whom or how hard it is or how much it hurts them. We just want all your money and everything that you own. France... Or see, no, Italy, I believe it was. This is either Italy or France. I forget which one. They're requesting that somebody make them documents public. The very first time a country officially has stood up and said something. Finally. I mean, after all these years of fun and games. And, you know, this is very important. The things that we found in the... And what was actually stolen from somebody's briefcase in terms of what goes on with the Trans-Pacific Partnership are very probably at least that much or worse in terms of the Atlantic Partnership. The ideology is to basically spread the generalization of the European Union. And anybody that doesn't know what that is, those countries give up their sovereignty and control over their finances and all kinds of happy stuff. Whenever the World Bank or somebody steps in, you get screwed. I mean, poor old Greece is, I don't know how, I'm surprised anybody's living there. They're looking at doing a number on Cyprus again. They already took the heads off everybody on their accounts. Now... they want to play bail-in. Everybody's been hearing about that, too, I'll bet. Well, they're also talking about it here. Yeah, that's right. Let's import some cool stuff from over there. They got better ideas on the design of cars. I mean, look how ugly the cars have gotten. I mean, it didn't take a whole lot to realize that these people's idea of style comes out of a Cracker Jack box. It's amazing to me that people even pay any attention to a lot of what's going on. So you got all that going on, and then Russia's had enough and decided to invade the Ukraine. They're only invading parts of it, not the whole thing, just parts of it. The Ukrainian military went, "Oh my goodness, look at that!" and took off running another way. Russia is no small turkey. In comparison to the Ukraine, that'd be like a couple dozen guys going up against a well-versed and experienced company of combat vets. I'm talking about average, everyday guys with guns. Yeah, wouldn't last very long. And that's what the Ukraine's looking at. They don't got the money to fight back. They don't have the equipment to fight back. Then to go along with it, they've been running short of ammunition, food, water. I mean, it sounds to me like things got stretched pretty thin. And then Mr. Big Mouth, the so-called premier, who only accepted votes that were for him in the election. Yeah, that's right. Check it out. None of the Eastern Ukraine was allowed to vote, pretty much. So, you know, all his buddies that are close to home that he can pat on the head and throw a chicken to or something, voted for him. And he got in by a good majority of that. So now you got a serious incursion. This was planned by NATO. This is something Putin was resisting doing. But contrary to popular belief, Putin don't like the idea of people being bombed or hit or raked with artillery fire, mortars, machine gun fire, when they don't even got a squirt gun to fight back with. And probably wouldn't use it anyway. If anybody ain't watching RT, I'd suggest you go check some of their videos out. It's pretty awesome to know that somewhere between 30 and 50,000 people have been affected by this. It's pretty awesome to know that a so-called good guy and so-called good people, NATO, U.S., and others, think it's a good idea to go after civilians with military weapons. People wonder why I got guns and live in the woods. Got any other questions? Think about it. If you think that's something, have you ever been in a big city, or one of any size at all, when a hurricane or something like that happens? You talk about a friggin' mess. I know those people who had fortified and weaponized in New Orleans survived Katrina on their property. They wouldn't let the cops on. Cop, you want to get shot? You walk up on my property. Well, I got a bet. I don't care. You're going to get shot. Now go get back in your car, and go find somebody else to bug. Well, the police took exception to it a couple of times, and several of them got shot for their trouble. And I agree with the homeowners. What they're doing is they're going down there. Now, think about it. Nobody's patrolling. They're just going around house to house, taking people, making sure that they leave. Now, what you going to do with all your stuff? I mean, if you survived the storm, who's going to protect your house if they're not patrolling? A lot of fun, okay? Well, I can tell you right now, there is no way anybody can force you to evacuate your house or property, period. Don't work that way. I saw a whole bunch of newsreels using the door bump to force their way into houses, and you can't even lock a house. I mean, so, you know, we got that problem. Then you got this fun and games target practice with the population in general, mostly poor people, who are mostly black. And, I mean, get real, man. What does it take for the people to realize that everything's got to change? Not just one part, one facet, all of it. What does it take to understand that the government don't like you? They prove that every tax time. They prove that every ticket you get or incarceration you serve or fine you got to pay. Now, you want to play with it? Play with that. And you ain't got the money to pay it anyway? Think about it. Can't work overtime at your job if you got one. You know, I don't even make it on my disability. I got to go do a lot of jobs just to eat. And you tell me I get to pay this fine? What are you, insane? And the judge says, oh, okay, well, then 90 days. Wonder what he'd do if he had to work 12, 14 hours a day just to go hungry. I wonder how his attitude would change if instead of somebody having a police uniform, the other guy had the uniform. I wonder how things would change if, and this is the if, this is the sticky part nobody wants to deal with, both sides, and their sides, indefinite sides, put their stuff together and said, okay, here's how it is. Now, I hope the people of Ferguson don't think that this was some kind of exercise for practice. I hope they don't believe that this is not serious. I mean, I've had people, a lot of people that were friends of mine disappear. I was on a battlefield. Come home in the same shit. Something ain't right. There's a smell about it. The smell that I give the general population is called mendacity. And the partner to mendacity is apathy. Well, you can't change it anyway. Keep fighting, tell you all. You can't get nothing done. They ain't going to listen to you. Sometimes they'll listen to an individual if that individual does things correctly. Generally, they definitely listen when a whole bunch of people get together. Didn't you get some attention in Ferguson? Yeah, oh yeah. Didn't get the right kind. Why? Because you didn't keep it peaceful, that's why. Oh, there's no peace. They're shooting us. Well, if you don't give them an excuse, doesn't matter what the situation is, don't give them the excuse, period. Don't do nothing that will put you into the system. Stay out of the system, period. Oh, it can't stay out of the system. Really, why not? Because they'll trump up charges? Well, maybe that guy that is giving out those free video cams might want to pick people that are stationed in general areas, you know, and they hand it off. One nosy individual with extreme zoom on the camera watches during the day, and another nosy one that can't sleep at night watches all night in certain areas. You want to cause problems. It's already been through the court. They're not allowed to confiscate a phone that's been used to videotape or record police action or public servants' actions. Don't matter who they are, whether they like it or not. And that's federal court now. So you don't have to comply with a whole bunch of different things that they say you do. Period. You don't have to comply. Why? Well, your constitutional freedoms stipulate that you don't. That's why. But, and here's the biggie, it's called enforcement. There's two ways to do that. Blood-curdling, raging mad with a big stick, alley apples, Molotov cocktails, and let's whip up on the police. That's one way. You saw what that got. A whole bunch of other people arrested, a whole bunch of other people hurt, a whole bunch of people in trouble that they probably can't, most definitely probably couldn't afford. And then you want to add to it the interesting fun and games of there's another way, and it's called peaceful. Now, you have no idea how woolly boogered you make somebody when there ain't no noise. I would suggest everybody, and I mean everybody, get together and simply walk. Now, they say you got to keep moving. Horse hockey. You have the right to peaceably assemble. Whether they like it or not, don't make squat. Okay? Oh, we got a city ordinance. Well, take it and stick it. It does not. The city ordinances do not rule the Constitution. They do not rule your inalienable rights. Period. Yeah, about freedom, ain't it? You want freedom? You got to free yourself first. That's the hard part. You have to take all of your individual ideologies, beliefs, prejudices. Nobody does that to me, all that stuff, and can it. You get to lay it down. It's like laying a gun down. Same deal. You would be amazed at the results you can get by just standing there watching. And sometimes just one. I've been to city council meetings that voted my way, because I told them I was going to watch them. and me and maybe a couple of other people showed up. And that was it in terms of our side, what we wanted to accomplish, and it happened. Imagine if there was a whole bunch of you. What would happen at the city council meeting if everybody showed up? Now, I know that the communities and people involved ain't wealthy. Most people live hand to mouth. I lived that way almost all my life. Scuffled, struggled, daylight to dark, sometimes before and after, sometimes till my hands bled, trying to feed the family, that's all, just trying to get it done so I didn't have to worry about my kids crying in the night because they're hungry. Yeah, that's a sound you can't, you know, what do you do with it for a baby that's crying because it's hungry? Yeah, feed it, that's what. To feed yourself, you have to understand that each individual, irrespective of who they are or what they are, has intrinsic value. Now, our Facebook page had that clip again. I'm a human being, and I deserve some respect. And I'm tired of this, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Oh, that's classic. That is beautiful. But has anybody thought of actually going about it the right way? In other words, when you do so, you ain't giving nothing up. You're gaining something. They don't have no right to do nothing to you when it's peaceful. And you can walk awful slow. I know I can. Get some little old lady that can walk about 2 or 3 miles. Think about this now. And let her lead. She ain't gonna walk fast. And that's the speed the crowd should take. When she gets tired, be sure somebody's got a wheelchair there and keep her rolling, keep her moving. I mean, it's all quiet, supposedly. Now the stores are struggling. You got a bunch of them burned down and bombed out, trashed. A lot of insurance don't cover that. If the business can afford the insurance, you got to have some, but you ain't got to have all of it. A lot of policies don't cover your whatever you got on hand there on the shelves. A lot of policies are, well, it's like medical insurance, overpriced. Anybody been to the doctor, they know they're overpriced. $300 to put a Band-Aid on a finger that's cut bad? I mean, really? You ain't just paying for medical school. You're paying for the yacht in the Bahamas and the beach that the house sits on. I mean, good Lord, come on now. Obamacare, indeed. It didn't do squat. All it did was mess things up. And they took the money from Medicare and Medicaid. Yeah, you heard me. $700 and some million worth. Now that thing's going to pop like a sore zit here shortly if that money is not returned. And a lot of it's been spent, so it's going to be iffy. Then you got the poor police. Well, they get to wear body armor, but I can't. It's illegal for me to own it? Don't bet on that. You better see the Dick Act. You better understand the Second Amendment of the Constitution. Keep and bear arms for your protection, especially against the government and its agents. The Dick Act says that you can own anything that they got, including airplanes, including tanks, machine guns, and they can't regulate it. Stipulates it in the Dick Act. So the people that want to play games with that, Now, it's easier not to fight the system in some ways, like having a driver's license and plates and that sort of thing, insurance for your car. It's easier to comply than to fight it. Because every time Dick and Harry that sees you with a funky tag is going to pull you over. How many times are you going to go through the ring around the rosy? I mean, there is a constitutional provision that only commercial traffic is to be regulated and taxed and offered permits. The individual is not required to have a driver's license or tags. And here's the cute part. Everybody knows what a title is. Guess what? When you give up the certificate of origin, that's who made it, who manufactured it, it becomes state property. You don't own it. You can have all the titles and fun and games you want, but you don't own it, supposedly. Well, that's a violation of the Constitution, basically. It's like when the state would come in and say, we're going to build a bridge in your front yard. I don't care if you don't like it. I mean, what do? Get the gun out and shoot the guy off the bulldozer or what? I mean, how is this? How can you handle this? There was a little old lady in Detroit who stood down the whole city of Detroit with her double-barreled shotgun. You ain't messing up my porch. I just swept it. That's a quote. I admire her tenacity and her strength of character. Now, you take that same strength of character. Think about standing in front of a tank like that kid did in Tiananmen Square in China. They don't fool with you down there. They just kill you. And yet, we got people here that can't get past the fun and games. Now, 78 arrests one day. Four of them were residents. Here's what you want to do. Forget the size of the crowd for a minute and think about this. Those outside people do not have your best interests in mind. A lot of them are agents, one form or another, don't matter what kind of agent. They're looking for trouble. They're looking for 5 minutes of fame on the evening news. They couldn't care less about that kid who got killed. And that's pretty heart-wrenching, if you think about it. I mean, here's a kid that apparently was bright, did some stupid stuff. I saw the video of him ripping off that convenience store. That ain't got nothing to do with killing him. What's got something to do with killing him is, no, you don't do that. If you got to use deadly force, you use it sparingly. You don't empty a clip of 20 or whatever it is, 19 plus 1 or 13 plus 1 into somebody that ain't even got a pocket knife. Big no-no. I'm thinking wrongful death, violation of civil rights, improper use of authority, among other things. I mean, this is, you know, the city needs to make changes, heavy-duty changes. So, at home, Obama's lost with no idea about anything. Ukraine or Iraq, I mean, that's, you know, and then you got Syria hanging out there. And domestics are heating up. Ferguson caused a whole bunch of dissent all over the country, and it should have. Now, here's the problem. Just because I'm sitting here talking to you on the phone, on a radio station, does not mean that I'm privileged. Yeah, I'm white. It don't seem to make no difference. They see the long-haired beard and out of the car long hair. Hey, boy, you're in a heap of trouble. Come here. You know, that stuff. Yeah, everybody's been there. It may not be worded quite that way now. They may have changed some of it a little bit just to make it look a little better, sound a little better. Out of the car, I blow your brains all over the seat. Yes, sir. Somebody's got a gun pointing right at your face. Yeah, you'd want to tend to do what the man says. Well, there has to be answers. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story, and you'll probably like this. When I was a little kid going to grade school, I used to get painted black every day, going to and from at times, because my mother and father were involved in civil rights. Dr. Martin Luther King used to come over to the backyard and have cookouts. We helped him with his logistics and planning, giving him ideas, trying to look at things, putting things together. Part of that I Have a Dream speech happened in that backyard. These are golden memories for me. I never thought, I mean, who would have thought that Dr. King would have been somebody that's special at that point? I was a little kid anyway. It didn't matter much to me. As long as I could play, I was happy. And the interesting part about it was that my mother started the NAACP in Indianapolis. That's where I grew up. And Cons to Citizens, she started that program where you take a convict and put him to work, train him if need be, put him to work. And I'm not talking about hustling dishes and playing with themselves. I'm talking about some kind of decent something, manufacturer or something that pays a little bit. You teach a person how to use a torch, turn them loose. Teach them how to weld, turn them loose. Teach them how to be a mechanic, build something, whatever. I mean, almost anything beats that minimum wage. I mean, people want to hold McDonald's responsible for their problems, and yet my question to them is, how come you ain't stood up for yourself? That's the question I always have for somebody. And I have met just about everybody you can think of. Nasties, nice, bad guys that were actually nice guys and weren't given any choice. You're going to be the bad guy on the block or you don't make it. The only way to get out of it in terms of having to, you know, work 50, 60 hours a week, if you got a good jock strap, you got it, maybe. Maybe. It's a chance. Going to college, well, the expense of college, they figured that out real quick. And the expense of college has gotten to a point where nobody, except somebody who's fairly well off, can manage that. Now, you got an option, community college, Pell programs, payment deferments, and things like that are commonplace. These are inner city, generally inner city colleges, and Indiana Vocational Technical School is where I went. My ex-wife worked there for many years, retired from there. It became Indianapolis Community College, but it's an associate degree program. What's an associate? That means that you are qualified to be an electrician and electronics technician and or, let's see, aircraft mechanics, general mechanics, body work. Let's see here, chef, you name it, all kind of programs there. And it's inexpensive. It's like a third of what going to some name university like Purdue or Indiana University costs. It's a lot less. And you can take it part-time at night. I went full-time. Really kept me off the streets, I tell you. Now, back to this other part. Being able to go everywhere, just about any place. Places where the police didn't go after dark because they were scared. They knew they wouldn't come back. And I didn't have a problem with it. People knew who I was, and I got that little extra edge. People look out for me, help me out. And I'm eternally grateful. I didn't know I was anything special. I just thought it was cool I could go down to the ghetto and find out how the other side, how other people lived who weren't as fortunate as I. I didn't want for a whole lot. I didn't have a whole lot of new stuff. I didn't have a lot of toys or whatever. My blue jeans was patched just as much as anybody else's. But the thing was that I made friends. I was one of the few white people that ever ate dinner with some of these people, ever, especially in their homes. They didn't believe that I was honestly inviting them. Hey, well, you know, come over and spend the night, man, if you want to. Oh, I can't do this. Why not? One guy finally told me, well, I'm black and you're white, and you can't do that. And I said, I can. And they looked at me, are you serious? And I said, I'll tell you what. We still got time. Let's go over to the house. Talk to my mom about it. You kidding? I said, no, come on. Oh, I don't believe it. Well, let's go. I had friends that were, a lot of them are dead. You don't live long when you're poor. And in the position they were in, You had to do drastic things, generally illegal ones, in order just to get by. and it caught up with them eventually. One of my friends, little brother, was one of the most articulate people I'd ever met. He could hold a conversation with a collegiate level discourse contest and do well. And he didn't have any education, but he read a lot. Now, he started getting the education, and something happened. I don't remember what it was, but he went down the toilet. Abject poverty was such that there was no choice in the matter. In order to survive, you got to join a gang or affiliate with one, or your own neighborhood to tear you up in a lot of places. They'll recruit you to sell or be a gopher, mule. And it ain't right that people have to do these things. It ain't right that the opportunities supposedly ain't there. Now, I'm going to tell you that they are there, and yet you got to have a little assist, not a handout, hand up. When you get to a certain point, there's no question of you being able to stand on your own merits. I'll give you an example. There was a janitor at AT&T, and that janitor had 3 degrees, business management, certain technical applications of what they were dealing with in terms of communication. These were a little bit rare back then, but degrees. My dad had the guts to go and talk to personnel, to the manager. Apparently they were friends, and I don't know if they growed up together or what the deal was exactly, but he got this man in. He said, "You need to look at this guy. He's a hell of a lot more than a janitor." And they promoted him. They checked him out. They tested him out. They wanted to see what he could do, whether he could handle the redesign of switch exchanges. And they used to have a solenoid system. The old rotary phones, just like a doorbell. Ding. Well, it dinged at a certain frequency, and that was a 3 or 5 or whatever, and he had great banks of these things. And anyway, he helped Bell Telephone out a lot. One day, not too long after the man had been helped, some people cornered my dad. And they had the electrical cutters and stuff out. They were going to circumcise him permanently. And he said, "Well, you could probably do it. But if I live through it, I'm going to go get my shotgun and come after you. Wherever you're at, doesn't matter where you hide, wherever you go." "Well, we can't have those animals." "Animals? Those are human beings." And I had somebody call a friend of mine an animal. White guy. One black guy. White guy. He was a little scruffy looking. Why? He was so damn poor that he had hand-me-downs. Stuff that had already been wore out once, at least, maybe twice. Pads put back together by Mom. And I took objection immediately. The manager comes out, "What do you know with that animal in here?" I looked around. I didn't see no dogs on the floor anywhere. He pointed to my friend. He says, He don't come in here." I said, "Why not?" "Oh, the other customers object." I said, "I'll tell you what you do. You're refusing us service. All I'm doing is buying a Coke. I'm gonna buy him a Coke. He ain't ever been in here but once or twice. And he told me that you run him off, and I told him I didn't think so." And that manager knew my dad, knew my family, and He didn't know who I was. And he wanted to know who I was. I said, "Okay." Told him my name. And he said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah. I got friends that are black, too, and I might bring them in." I don't know if we can. I said, yeah, you can. Because if you don't get used to it, it's going to overrun you. Racism is a hate. It's a cancer. It eats you up. Hate ain't good for nothing. I don't know of anything right now that I really hate. I got some real strong feelings about people that molest kids. I think rapists ought to be permanently done away with, along with child molesters and a few others, but that's my personal opinion. If it were to become law, I think some people might agree with it. As far as the rest of it goes, our society looks like a piece of shit right now. This is why you've got Muslims and others wanting to kill all the infidels and rip things apart and execute everybody. An infidel is a person who works against God. And I'm going to tell you right now, the majority of the dealings from higher levels of government are infidels. They serve mammon, period. If it ain't bottom line, we don't hear it. If you can't do something real positive like getting me elected, I won't talk to you. I don't have time. I remember a movie where this black man got turned down because he was not financially viable. And the guy said, why? What do you mean? I make plenty of money to pay you back, no problem. I don't have any debts. So he said, I can't help you. You're not financially viable. Well, he stood out in front of the bank, screaming it. They hauled him off. This should not be the way society is. Everybody should, as Dr. King said, where somebody's not judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. I know some white people that, they rate pretty low, put it that way. I could put names on things, but I don't think people would appreciate those names. Anyway, so where are we at? Well, domestics are heating up. They're trying to tell you you can't have body armor. That's horse hockey. Nobody can edict. Nobody can stipulate that the Constitution is a piece of butt wipe and that our rights don't mean nothing. I posted a bunch of stuff today about that sort of thing on the Facebook page. Anybody ain't been there, it's Cosmic Voice Facebook page. Go look. I posted some things through the blog. I have not been real active on the blog real recently because of some of the stuff I was told not to mess with. It's not settled out yet, so you don't screw it up. And like I say, it's all quiet on the Ferguson front. Now, nobody knows. No one really knows what to do. As in the investigation starts, right. Oh, we're going to investigate. We'll find out. Yeah, right. 20 years later, never. What do you mean? You don't have no emails. Well, I can't help it just because I'm an IRS person that, you know, my computer ate my homework. It's not my fault. Uh-huh. Same investigation. And the people that, and this really gets me, black-owned stores were gutted. And there's been riots in varying places of that type that is beyond belief. How stupid to tear up your own neighborhood. Yeah, that's right, stupid. You want to do something positive and get their attention, take out a bookstore. Saks Fifth Avenue. I mean, you know, start pick some that it'll make a difference. Yeah, I know. You need the more practical stuff that's local. I understand that. And the need's probably very real. I've found it to be that in a lot of places. I mean, as a kid, I started an exchange when white people in the neighborhood would buy a new appliance and the old one worked just fine. We'd make sure it went over to the black neighborhood. It might be used, but the washer works. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever used a scrub board. If you ain't, you missed it. If you ain't had to use an outhouse in the wintertime, you missed it. Oh, yeah, try to get water out of a frozen pump. You know, the kind you see in the old Wild West where they take the arm and go up and down and it creaks and groans and maybe gives you water. Oh, boy. Unbelievable. So I experienced a lot of things, and I started a lot of things. I tried to help people, not because they were anything special, just because they didn't need to be needlessly suffering with a whole bunch of horse hockey. Somebody had wasted perfectly good imagination and drive in putting together. Oh, the blacks don't get nothing. No. Yeah, I'll take that toaster oven to my grandma. She's already got one, but she just got a friend that needs one. I said, yeah, but these guys ain't got nothing to cook on. Oh, yeah, but you can't. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, man. You want fun and games? You have to try some of that. And I'm a kid now. Back then, a kid could be disciplined by any adult by whatever means was appropriate for whatever was going on. Only had one man raise his hand to me, and my dad just about broke his arm. Grabbed him by the arm and by the throat and said, you don't want to do that if you want to live. I mean, my chin's dragging the floor. I'm going, wow, I didn't know Dad was like that. He's always been a lot nicer to me than that. I mean, my parents were pretty cool. They let me live. I mean, here's little Dennis the Menace cousin, all the fun and games you can think of. But the trials and tribulations of life, if you let it, will screw with you. If you want to turn some of that around, laugh at it. It screws with the nasty entities that cause these things. You know, there are a lot of people out here are believers in one form or another, and ain't nothing wrong with it. I have my own belief system, but you've heard of somebody you don't want to be around because they're just boo. And you heard about other people that are, yummy to be around. These are the people that look at life and know that it's a joke. No matter how serious it might get, you can have somebody point a gun barrel at your nose and you start laughing. And the guy's going to do what? Don't you realize? Yeah. And I'm thinking, well, this is it. I done finally stepped in it all the way up to my neck, and we're going to find out the reality of everything real quick here, it looks to me like. And the guys, and I've had gunmen. Yeah, that's right, gunmen. With a gun barrel at my nose. And when I started that routine, when I started running those numbers on that man, they lightened up. Well, ain't you got any money? Yeah, do I look like I got money, man? Come on now, just because I dress a little bit decent. That mom and dad bought me the clothes. You kidding? I said, no. If I had something, what do you think I'd be walking the streets for? I'd be somewhere partying with somebody. And really, I said, dude, I got about $6. I'll buy you a cup of coffee if you want. A lot of the times we ended up going to places and what was funny was that the owners of these places, now I'm talking about as dark as it gets in terms of a neighborhood. There might have been me and two other white folks within 5 miles. And I didn't have any fear, and he couldn't believe it. Now, this guy, and it didn't matter what color the guy was. I took him to a place. I used to stop at some places a long time ago when they first started, before Vi owned Vi's Black Pot, the Tunnel Bar downtown, places that people didn't know that you could go. The Greasy Spoon on the near north side. There was a lot of places I went that most people didn't go. Why? Well, you might have to shoot your way in, shoot your way out. You might not. When you get in there, you don't know if you're going to be safe when you get in. It's really, but they knew who I was. They knew that I tried to help, make a difference, that people didn't have to be wrong in order to be right. They didn't have to commit a crime to get justice. They did not have to. Why? Because they had the determination. They had the grit. And I'm talking about true grit. They had the grit. They had the content of character not to do anything that would put them within the reach of the system. Because peaceful protest is legal. It don't matter about permits and all this permissions crap. Forget it. So, anyway, you go into this eyes wide open, not eyes wide shut. And then we got the other problem, and this is Southwest. The border's still open, and Obama is looking to illegally mess up immigration through executive order. And what I got to say to that, really? Well, now, he talked about this a while back, and then he shut up. And then other things came up, and now he's got it back again, but he hadn't done anything. He said he's going to real soon. I got a phone and a pen. I'll fix it. Yeah, right. Mr. Obama, I'll warn you now, don't do anything stupid. Anything is questionable at all, and you will be detained. Just that simple. I already know what's going on. And believe me, you're at the top of the list. I mean, you got, try this, expelling somebody's kids for a parent's Facebook page? Give me a break. somebody said, God bless you, and got expelled from school. Well, it's not illegal to have any kind, and I mean any kind, of religious expression. You can't do it all the time. Specifically, Gesundheit. That means God bless you in German. it's not illegal to utter that. And the school system has a serious problem. They do not give any respect to the students, and in turn they get none. And if they were to show a combination of things to the students the correct way, the students police themselves. How do I know? Well, the school system didn't have enough buses for school busing in Indianapolis, and I was driving a Metro bus. And they contracted with Metro to provide school transportation. And believe me, some of the schools I went to were not safe. You can walk around there. Sometimes the kids would come in roving bunches, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 of them, and just do whatever they felt like they wanted to do. You think about it. And here I was, hauling back and forth. I established myself real simple. I treat everybody the same way. Oh, come on, white bread. I said, now looky here. Do you know how to bend a cracker? I doubt it. Think about this real close. Forget the racist stuff. It don't cut it with me. Not at all. I really don't like that. I mean, that'd be about the closest objection to hate I got, is somebody falsely accusing somebody of not being right because of what or who they are. That's like looking at somebody in a burqa. Ooh, Muslim. Watch him, watch him. No, no. Black man, aisle four. And that's real, by the way. I heard that in JCPenney once. I also heard it in Sears in the basement. Watch the tools. I mean, I bust up laughing. Mom said, what are you laughing at? Did you hear that announcement? And she said, yeah. I said, she says, I take it seriously. I said, I think it's ridiculously funny. And Mom couldn't figure it out. So we went and we happened to find out that it was a friend of mine's dad that was looking for some specific tools. he wasn't looking to steal nothing like they were going to make sure that he did be found guilty of if they decided to do something to him. I asked him, I said, sir, oh, yeah, and they weren't used to that. Adults were not used to me calling them sir or ma'am. But the politeness worked. Sir, you remember me? Yeah, you got that funny name. I said, yeah, Drake, Papa Duck. Yeah, okay, I remember you. You friend of my boy. Yeah. What's going on? I said, did you hear that announcement? And he looked at me. I mean, it just shocked him. He looked at me, He looked at my mom, his chin dropped open, and he said, "Yes, I did." I said, "Mom got all serious. I bust up laughing." And he started grinning. He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I know you better than that." "How do you know me?" I said, "Through your kids. What's the next generation going to be? Are they going to be a rainbow coalition of we don't care what you are, let's see what we can do together? Are we going to be separatists? Are we going to be a land of hate or a land of at least acceptance on face value until something either goes one way or the other? What are we going to do? How are we going to act? How are we going to treat each other? We're going to say hey to everybody. Hi, how you doing?" And people look at you like, "Man, that dude's nuts." Is he? Are they? Does it lighten your day up just a little bit when somebody says, "Hi, man, how you doing?" "Oh, pretty good. You?" "Oh, just fine, man. Beautiful day and all that, and I'm alive, and I can still walk. I mean, I'm vertical instead of horizontal. That's good." So you look at that, you might have a whole lot of nothing, as Porgy and Bess say. A whole lot of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. I got my gal. You know, I got my liberty. Good Lord, man. And we got a long way to go to get the social justices in place so that no one is treated inequally just because they're different. And believe me, I have known some real freaks back in the 60s. Hooey, spiked hair, you know. Real flower child. I don't know where all of them went. Got no idea. But being able to accept somebody, irrespective of where they're from, what they do, even how they act. And a friend is somebody that you know about and you like them anyway. A friend is somebody that you overlook the things that might otherwise bother people. And they overlook yours. And you go and have a good time together. Or at least you are extraordinarily civil as passers, you know, on your journeys, wherever you take, wherever it's going. I still got some more to go, but it's top of the hour, and Tom's probably got music to play.
Yes, I have, Drake. Thanks for that hour. Much better than last week. And on we go. Right, we've got a couple of songs, and we'll be back in about 8 or 9 minutes. Bye for now. That won't Hi all, and welcome back to the second hour. Like a bridge over troubled waters. Well, hopefully the waters are a lot calmer now, and we can get on with more important stuff, like obtaining our freedom. Drake?
Yes?
Are you back? Do you want to go into questions, or have you got more to say?
I'm going to say right now, I didn't like last week's show. I don't like the posts we had to make, and I don't like having to deal with things that way. But
no.
There's a lot of people out there in the world that just won't listen to reason, no matter how reasonable you might want to be. street gangs go shooting people as an initiation ceremony. Drive-bys, this, that. He dissed me, so I'm going to kill him. Good Lord, man. Put the guns down. Duke it out. When the guy's done, you don't keep stomping him and crippling him. Just whip his butt. If that's what you got to do. I mean, you know, the thing here is we have to get back to what once was. And no, I don't mean going back to bull whips and people crying and all that crazy, ridiculous stuff. I mean, we destroyed a nation full of people that lived here thousands of years before the white man showed up. Then we took free men off the continent of Africa because we had better weapons. We had trained ourselves in the art of taking a person down and nets and a few other things. And we could capture people. And so we forcibly took people and put them in slavery, chains, whatever. It's real simple. One of the economic problems we've got right now is immigration. And I'll tell you why. Until it gets fixed, and no, it ain't the Republicans in the House of Representatives holding it up. It's Harry Reid in the Senate who refuses to at least bring to the floor for consideration over 300 bills so far that would have fixed a whole bunch of things before any of this stuff got started. Responsibilities. Personally held responsible for your actions as a police officer or a public servant. Yeah, I've seen a couple of it. A lot of things. Now, I ain't going to give the Republicans all the credit. And I'll tell you why. They didn't write it all by themselves. Democrats, people who care, they happen to be associated with the Republican or Democratic Party, they care about the situation and conditions in which we live, our country that we are a part of. We used to be everybody's big brother and friend. Now we're hated, primarily. Nobody pays attention to Obama. And, I mean... How many promises has he broke? He said that people were going to be able to get free stuff. And everybody that was poor, oh, that sounds like a good deal. I mean, somebody's actually going to get something back from all this strife I've been going through, you know. Some of the richies were supposed to get certain things approved, and they're still, one just got dumped totally, cost several billion dollars. Another one has yet to see the light of day. We got enough construction projects in terms of our infrastructure, bridges, you know, roads, sewer systems, all that stuff. I mean, we could keep people busy if we had the means to do so. Why don't we got the means? Well, they screwed the economy up so bad by stealing all the money that you can't find a really good paying job unless you're some kind of expert in the field. Unless you're some kind of real whiz-banger at IT technology or, let's say, electronics. And even then, it's iffy. Why? I mean, you got – well, I'll give you an example here. Two counties in California filed paperwork to secede from the state. Why? The state costs them too much. You can alleviate the state tax on gasoline, save yourself quite a bit of money. We got several people have come out now, knowing what I've been trying to tell them about the fall of the financial systems of the West, where you can take the stock market and drop it by, I don't know, 50, 60, 70% suddenly. And you're going to see these little ups and downs, whoop-de-doos, and it's going to fudge around 17 for a while. 17 is probably going to be its max, somewhere right close to it. Then all of a sudden it goes in the toilet. Now, how does this affect people that might want to be interested in what I got to say? Well, what happens when the company loses its value? They close the freaking doors. That's what happens. You lose your job, no fault of your own. And if you got a whole bunch of these little businesses closing up, just where you think you're going to be able to get something to do? It's going to get dicey. And so David Tice, he's in the news. He says 30 to 60%, and he's pretty close on. Mortgage applications, though, went up 20% suddenly. And then the spike hasn't stopped. It just went up 20% in applications and it stayed there. Total applications are up 30-some percent. Refinances are going like nuts. Now, I noticed that the stock market started fudging a little bit, chugging, and all of a sudden the bonds, two or five-year, 10-year, and 30-year, went over 100. Now, that tell you right there that somebody's running for cover. Gold went up. But the other part of the mortgage thing is that foreclosures are up. That's right. They went down for a while, but they're back up again. Don't know if they're going to keep climbing. And then you got these funny numbers that the government likes to put out, unemployment. And they say, oh, the unemployment rate's down. Really? You left out the 600,000 people that dropped out of the workforce. Dude, instead of spending everything I got and wasting all my time looking, I'm going to go do some odd jobs. I get cash in fist, and I know I'm going to get paid, and it's not a problem, and off down the road you go. You step outside that system. People are so poor that we're closing in on 50% of the population that does not only not pay taxes, but also is on the public dole. Whether that's food stamps or Social Security or Medicaid or what it might be, doesn't really matter. That's a serious problem. And there ain't no good jobs. Used to be you could go and work for somebody and make $15 an hour, no problem. If you hustled a little bit and did stuff right, they didn't have a problem paying you that. A lot of the time it was cash. Sometimes it would be a paycheck, very little bit in that. But ain't a lot of construction going on. So where is this economic recovery coming from? Well, you had a lot of people that are flush with cash. A lot of the home sales are cash. How don't you think about that? These people have been holding on to their cash, all of it. Every little extra they've been hoarding. And then all of a sudden when they're ready, they pop it on something. And it ain't new cars. New cars ain't selling worth 10 cents. There's a tremendous backlog. New houses are not selling nearly as well as existing homes. Not near. Well, you can go over and you can look and see what it is. It's like any kind of something that's relatively new, but even though it's used, it's not beat up or wore out. you know what you're getting. The bug's been worked out of it usually simply because somebody owned it long enough to do that. So, you know, you're in a position where you got a good idea as to what you're getting. The other part of this is basically freedom. And the only way to secure our freedom is enforcement. And as you know, and I've stipulated before, we need a few good people. Dr. Aiden and a few others are working on this in conjunction with Neil Keenan, myself, and others to try to put this together. My appeal to you is this. You need to find somebody. And, you know, it ain't something I'm obligating you to. I'm just asking. Find somebody who has experience as an investigator, experience as a field operative in terms of finding somebody and securing them, okay? Not difficult things. And no, it's not a police force. It's going to be a special services unit. I'm waiting on my credentials to get here, just to be honest with you. As soon as they do, I'm going to see what we got and who we got. Then I'm going to go out in the field and see if I can find some people. There are some people I know of that are pretty well set in terms of what they might be able to want to do. And yeah, they'll be paid positions. These are not, this ain't something that you're going to be doing volunteer as a volunteer. And no, don't sign up just because you think you can and you want a paycheck. That ain't what this is about. We need people who got expertise, experience, or a great deal of knowledge in certain specific areas. If you have that, and it could be a diced variety of things, but if anybody knows anybody, if you know a veteran, if you know somebody that has served in Special Forces, that sort of thing, more than welcome to talk to them. Now, first contact will be public. Can't help that. We got to arrange a meeting place. I'm going to suggest my place here. I don't like the idea of exposing my home, but I'm also armed and able, and so I'm not real concerned about it. People who are interested in freedom and setting us free from the problems that you've encountered is, as an example, in Ferguson, as everybody encounters when they try to open a business and find out that they got regulations 10 foot deep before they can even think about it. Everybody right now has hopped on the bandwagon. We got to do several things. One, you notice these people are leaving the country. Burger King went to Canada. Why? 35% business tax here? They were paying about 27, but 35% here? 15% in Canada. Now, that's going to look good for stockholders and paychecks and bonuses and all kinds of, you know, they can rack up some cash and maybe expand a little bit. They can do business at that rate. I'd say the absolute max ought to be 20%. I don't care what it is. Wages, now this is a cool one, are non-taxable. Oops. The only thing that's taxable is direct sale of something or a business. That's it. Commercial transport, that sort of thing, those are taxable items. The rest of it ain't. And yes, it's constitutional. Yes, it's been through the Supreme Court. And yes, they upheld it. Ooh, you don't have to pay taxes. And even if you don't feel like you want to fight all that, there's a secret. And I was told by several people I was going to get in deep doo-doo over this, but I'm going to say it again. See if you can arrange to make sure that you withhold your taxes that you're supposed to pay on your income, whatever that may be, until they're due. See, corporations make quarterly payments. You don't want to do that. You want to do your own withholding for your own paycheck, and they'll give you the numbers. You make X amount of money, they take this amount. Set up a special bank account, put another $20 in there beyond what you know it's going to be, and you're set. And then at the end of the period of time where it's time to pay, cut them a check, bingo. But they are on life support right now. Our government is on life support. European Union is on life support. The assets, the tangible assets that they use to back the currencies, it's just about used up, real close. When that is used up, that's when the stock market goes in the toilet. That's when everything comes to a screeching halt for a few days. Now, I've talked about this, too. I'm going to say it again. You got about a two-week period. And that two-week period means that the bank ain't going to work. That means you need to have some junk silver, as they call it, 68 and before coinage, or gold if you're well off enough to do that. Either way, have something that you can use to fill your gas tank and buy groceries with. Lay up some food because the groceries may not be restocked correctly. Be sure you got some drinking water in jugs. I mean, you know, if you got to, you go to work stinking, but you're alive and you're healthy because you had water to drink. If you got a creek nearby or something like that, you can take the stuff and use a bucket and get you a steel bucket and warm the water up. I mean, there's thousands of ways. But if you don't take this seriously, what are you going to do if you ain't got food and water? I mean, you got to have those two. The rest of it, you can figure something out with. People sleep in their cars. People live in a garage. You know, variety of different things. People that would cause us harm probably will try to turn off the water, electricity, and the communications. And we got people in place ready to take those positions and get to get everything right back up and running. And anybody that does that, they get to go to jail. Whoops, you don't do that. That's a no-no, and they know this, but they get desperate. You know, you get desperate, and you got mouths to feed and no way to get there, and you go get Grandpa's gun and get in trouble. And that's just how it is, unless you're slick and you get away with it a few times. I don't recommend any of that. It shouldn't have to be that way. It should be where, and this ain't somewhere you can loaf. You're going to be working. You're going to be doing something. You're going to be productive. And what's interesting about it is you can take pride in it. Why? Because you're going to basically be a subcontractor. You'll be on your own in order to accomplish the goals you need to accomplish. That means being to work on time reasonably. That means doing something while you're there. don't go in and check out the company truck and go around the block and park it and go to sleep. That don't work too well. But in general, you know, the reasonability of somebody got put in a position of responsibility and we're getting paid to be responsible, you think $15 an hour is nice. I know a lot of people make 30 to 50, and a lot of it's cash. Why? Because the people know they're reliable and that they'll do a good job and they'll take care of business. That's it. And they're not going to take 2 years to put one little cabinet in a bathroom. Yeah, there's a lot to be learned. I don't deny that. And there's a lot of ways to get the knowledge. Best way I found is to find an older person that's done it for 50 years, knows everything there is to know about it. How would you go about doing this? And they'd describe it to you. Can you show me one? Yeah. Show you one. Oh, okay, like that. Yeah, it works great. Okay, bingo. Now you are able to at least mimic a professional, whether you are one or not. You can be productive. Boss can be happy. You can get your paycheck and be happy. I mean, minimum wage, I'm going to tell you right now, survival level is about $15 an hour. That's survival level. You're probably going to have the help of a spouse. If you're single, that's iffy at $15 an hour. You ain't going to live real nice. I can guarantee you that. You get up around 20, then you get your head above water. But quite honestly, it shouldn't be like that, but things keep going up. So we're kind of stuck with it. And I burn another half hour, Tom.
Have we got all right, questions? You want some questions?
All right, hit me over the head with it.
I'd like to get something out. I'll rephrase that. Let me find the damn post. Won't be a minute. Right, I've got it now. This is a post on Cosmic Voice. It's about one of our members, and her son is about to lose his daughter to the Crown Prosecution Service. Now, I mentioned about this kind of activity about a month ago. It's rife in the UK. The social workers are making £20,000, which is about $32,000 per child, for removing the child from their homes, and then it goes to a corrupt system who are all in on it, the judges and the police, and into a secret courtroom which you have no access to, or by yourself or a lawyer. So what I want to say first before I read out the details is how many more of our members are going to go through strife before we stand up. You know, we've had the issue.
Child services here in the States.
Yeah, it is. We've had the issue with Luna Lisa recently, and I know there's a few others suffering. Are we just going to just carry on sitting here like boiled frogs? You know, these things are going to happen to more and more of you. And I know people go, oh, he's saying it again. But this is the reality. You know, you can't just sit there and just suck it up. We've sucked it up for too long. And, you know, there's an awful lot of so-called tough guys all around the US. Step forward. You know, you profess to love your country and beating your chest with this star-spangled banner. Well, you got to step up. Anyway, I'm going to ask all people on CV and listeners to call the Californian State Legislator, Susan T. Eggman, to complain about this decision. There's another one of their backroom deals, and they're corrupt. And the number to call is 209-948-7479. That number again is 209-948-7479.
Is that posted on Facebook?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And the woman's name is Susan T. Eggman. Let's give her an eggy face. Right. We're so sorry that's happened to you, Jeannie. But it's indicative of the bigger picture where more and more of these incidents are happening to us. And they'll continue happening to us until the people stand up. Right, Drake, is there a difference between ISIS and ISIL?
No.
If so, what?
No, it's all the same thing.
Yeah.
They put whatever handle is convenient on it. They want to make it legitimate, so they give it a fancy name. It's legitimate in some ways. In most ways not, but in some ways it's legitimate. It's sort of like the freedom movement here, only over there it's with guns. That's been the way, simply because human flesh, and anybody in the hood can relate to this, human flesh ain't worth a whole lot. It's under the hood that counts, and what's under the hood there is religiosity gone wild, insane. The problem is the same with Judaism and the lack of house cleaning. We need to clean house. The peaceful need to shirk off being peaceful, much as hard as it might be in these respects, and take the bull by the horns and stick its nose in the dirt real hard, permanently if necessary, and that's not easy to do. In our own situation, I hope it don't come to that, but it's possible, and that's something everybody needs to be aware of. I mean, nobody's done anything official, but you sure got a lot of body-armored policemen running around out there that look like some kind of attack team. Or attack dogs, and they don't instill confidence on either side when you get dressed like that or be that way. The ideology that you can freely execute people is as old as any of the belief systems. Christianity has it and has had their turn at it. Inquisitions, holy wars, the Crusades. They went after the Muslims just because they were there. I mean, you know, any excuse will do to be able to stand up and say, I am more than anyone else. I am more than the guys we're fighting against. Same thing you find in team sports is prevalent here, only they set it on fire with absolute religious belief. That's why I touched on the subject of infidel. These people taking these actions are infidels and don't even know it. So until the peaceful people, and this includes the population of the United States, say enough is enough and stand up and say no more and enforce it, we're going to be stuck with it and it ain't going to get better. Next.
Few questions about Nehlu and what ensues. Now that Nehlu is free, is the $1 trillion lawsuit going to be refiled?
Yes. I don't know how soon, but yes. I'm not
anywhere.
Really
no. Well, it's well, we'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Anywhere on Nehlu making a guest appearance on the show?
That's a possibility. Neil was going to be on tonight, but he needs to catch up on his rest. He ain't been getting no sleep. What with all the calls from all over the world, different hours of the day and night. I've gone through the same thing. I've had people in Pakistan, India, Africa. You name it, call me, and we're having lunch. How you doing? I said, well, it's 1 a.m., and I was asleep till you called. So, you know, and you get about one of them you can get around. You wish the house was on fire or something important was happening in terms of that sort of thing when you make such calls, but you can get over maybe one of them. But when they get to three or four in number, and they're spaced out an hour or so, you just get to good sleeping, and the phone goes off. And that's what Neil's been putting up with. Now, that's part of the coordination and part of the personal expenditures that we make to get this done. Now, we're doing a lot, and we're going to expect a lot. This ain't going to be a free lunch deal, no matter what anybody thinks. A lot of things are going to be changed, rectified, and altered to a point where some of it won't be recognizable. A lot of it ain't going to exist, a whole bit. We're going to really do everything in number. And we're going to need people to join in with us because one or twosies makes it real difficult. Instead of us getting woke up all night long, we'll spread the calls out a little bit, and you guys can have one, and, you know, we'll go at it that way. Next.
Nehlu is out. Neil's getting the donated funds. Two obstacles down. Can we proceed with something to get our freedom and rights back now?
Yes. Now, there's some things internationally that have to be done first. You heard of the no-fly zone. That is in progress, and it's going to become a reality. And at that point, let's see here. It's sort of like dressing somebody in new clothes and getting them wet and they shrink. That's what the cabal is going to experience. And I'm including underwear and everything. It's going to be a tight world for them. And they're not going to like it. And they're going to try to play with it. And the first time they do and are met with forceful resistance, then they're going to realize that it's real and we ain't playing. Eventually, hopefully shortly after that or sometime around that same time, we'll see some actions by other individuals that will pretty much take care of the problems that we've had as far as individuals go. So you can start expecting that. I've been harping on this for a while, and I know everybody's tired of hearing it, but it ain't the same old routine. things have changed in the background where nobody sees it. Unless you really know where to look or know how to look, you won't find it. I've expressed this like the bond market, like watching the ring around the rosy in terms of changing this regulation, making laws that are applicable only to their benefit, that sort of thing. And these are the things you have to look for. They're trying to make their final push, and yet at the same time they're desperate. Meaning that they're not in a good position, and they realize that some of them realize this, and they've got everybody pretty excited. I'm hoping that nothing drastic takes place. And we'll find that out shortly. Okay?
Since Nehlu is free, isn't the Cabal pretty much doomed now? Is his freedom one of the shoes we have been waiting to drop?
Until he takes certain actions, not exactly, but yes. You'll start hearing about those actions. They won't be able to keep a lid on that, okay?
Right. It has been shared that Clinton and his cronies have gone to Indonesia to steal everything they can get their hands on. How were they allowed to cross the no-fly zone, or is this not yet in effect?
Not yet in effect, and there's ways around that. However much people might not like it, at a certain level, people scratch each other's back. I'm going to help you out, and if you help me out, I need to go such and such and do this. Oh, well, you know, and they work out a deal. That's where you get the FISA courts, certain family courts that are secret and all that happy stuff. They don't want you to know what's going on. They do not want you to understand, because the person that understands and knows something, somebody who is educated enough, starts finding these things. And when you start finding these things, then you're going to object. And with an educated grounds for objection being voiced, such as this show and other things, causes some real serious problems in terms of being able to get people to go along with their program. So that's, you know, where that's at. Next.
Has the president taken a page out of the Cloward and Piven manual using the influx of illegal immigrants to collapse our economy?
That's only one part of it. The other part was to subjugate the health care programs. Secondary bailout of the insurance companies. Let's see here. And not making people criminally liable for their actions. J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, people like that. Part of the deals that they made was that nobody would be held personally responsible no matter what they did. Now, I want you to think about that real close. Steal, you know, millions or billions of dollars, and nobody goes to jail? Well, they sure took Madoff and put him in jail. What's so special about him? How about we invoke that equal protection under the law? I should be protected from that butt wipe, and you're going to tell me he's turned loose? Well, that means that your judgment's faulty. Oh, it does. Yeah, I'm going to appeal what you just did. Your deal don't cut it with me. And until somebody has the capability to do so and takes the powers of finance away from them, we're kind of stuck with it to an extent. Now, objections tend to screw up the works. So anybody out there who can, you know, put together something that can go on a Facebook page, do so, especially if it'll cause somebody's starch to get wrinkled or cause them to have to invest heavily in Tums. I mean, I want them to have nightmares. I want them to scream in the night like I did when I came back from Vietnam. I want to see them have the same kind of understanding of suffering that we do. What do you mean? You didn't have enough to eat. Well, we didn't have the money to buy the food. I mean, and it gets worse the poorer you get. A dollar might as well be a million if you ain't got one and don't got no option to get one. Only option you got maybe is to take one, see if you can get away with one. And it shouldn't have to be that way. that song, Golden Country, is a good example of why it shouldn't be that way. We're, you know, with all our money, the poor should be fed. With all our money, we should be educating the poor so that they can be self-sufficient and don't have to worry about somebody being in charge of their life. The idea of social safety is used in children and family courts to take your kids. You smoke. They're coming with us. What? Really? Oh, you drink in front of them. Yeah, you're guilty. And the list goes on and on. Totally absurd. Totally ridiculous. But they do it. They've been doing it. A veteran don't act quite right because he got problems from the war. So they snatch him. Mentally ill, mentally disturbed people, because they decided that funding for mental treatment was too expensive. They didn't fund anything, so you got all these nutcases running around loose. And then some, you know, walk around just talking. Some of them don't do nothing at all out of the ordinary. A lot of them cringe when they get around people. But it's all there. It's like being in the presence of the cops. How do you feel? Do you feel safe? I don't, and I carry a gun. So you have to understand that the social setup is simple. The ruination of the family unit is one of the prime directives. Secondary part of that is to make sure that the financial situation is such that both people, both parents, both adults have to work. Just make sure that the kids by themselves and the education system can do what they want to with them. And this is a big problem. It's going to have to be attended to. my mother didn't have to work when I was little. And believe me, you walk home for lunch, and it's cold and wintry out, and you get there, and there's a hot bowl of soup. Oh, man. They didn't have lunch programs back then. They didn't have a cafeteria at my school. What's the kid do if they don't know how to cook? Think about that. I mean, you know, or if you go home, what's the point of going home? Ain't nothing, no food there anyway. What do you mean? Well, we ate it for dinner last night. There won't be anything until dinner tonight. When you're at that point, at that level, a loaf of bread means a lot. There's been several instances of people making big old bag of groceries appear on people's porches when they really needed it. Yeah, that's a handout. If you can afford it, so what? Don't give them the opportunity to give it back. That's pretty simple. If somebody wants a hand up, tell them it's a friggin' loan, and you will pay it back. But you pay it back when you can, if you can, at the proper time. Right now we're worried about making sure you're healthy enough to go work. So that your mind don't wander because of the lack of food, things of this nature. Why do you think the inner city schools are having such a tough go of it? The kids don't get breakfast. They don't get any lunch. I mean, the kids are going to be starving to death by the time they get back home. So this is why you don't have a phys ed program in schools anymore. The kids were passing out from hunger. Yeah, you find out the real truth about these things, and it really gets nasty. You got school administrators taking food away from kids and tossing it in the trash because they're two payments behind on their lunch bill. Give me a break, man. You know, I'd like to take those people and put them through the week without food and water that I went through in Vietnam. Well, let's take you out in the mountains, make you run up and down a few of those. And not have nothing to eat unless you can catch something. I mean, you know, you can teach personal responsibility real simple. The cold, hard concrete out there on that sidewalk starts it when you realize how cold and heartless it is. And then when you realize that you can make a difference within your own existence, your own life, by personally making sure that don't happen. Personally making sure that you got a paper route or you can mow some grass or move some stuff around in somebody's garage and make a few bucks. I used to know a lot of people that did that. A lot of people would miss the first couple hours of school. Why? Because they was finishing up a job that they started Sunday and they had to finish it up by Monday before noon. They got their money and they showed up at school. And they get in trouble for it. And I took objection. Yeah, I'm just another kid, but I took objection. I said, "Why you? What are you in the office for?" I was late. Why? Well, I had to do some chores, get money so I could eat. So, you know, when I started finding this stuff out, I mean, it really, it bugged me. I wasn't used to the idea that people were going hungry. This is land of plenty. And it may not be milk and honey all the time. I mean, it might be White Castles, but, you know, there's plenty of White Castles. People should not be doing totally without. Not a hand out, but a hand up. And if they want to, they can recontribute once they get to where they're going, contribute back to a program. You get several people putting $5 a week in, and pretty soon the program pays for itself. It alleviates the drain on the economy, the drain on the federal budget and whatnot. Now, the federal budget's been whacked for years, as I've stated. and it ain't going to get right until people quit playing games. Quit playing with it. Put it down, put it together, put it concisely reasonable, and let it apply to everybody. I mean, nobody's got jobs, but Congress and Senate's getting a raise. They won't raise the minimum wage, but they get one. Well, how about we have a moratorium on this? We, the people, say, no, you don't get to do that. And there'd be a pretty good argument, possibly even a fight, but if you can get that under control and let them know that they're going to be personally affected by what they're doing, how they're going about things, I've had comedians. I used to watch the Comedy Channel all the time because my life was like stuck on the Comedy Channel, so I figured I'd learn about it. And one of the things that come up by a pretty good comedian, he's old school, he said, well, it's simple. You can fix the government in just a few minutes. And the guy says, ah, bullshit. Well, you know, so you got these hecklers in the audience that are always going to do something like that. And he said, no, for real. I don't believe it. I'll lay it out for you. Tell me if it'd work. He says, it's real simple. Let them steal all they want, but put them on commission. They only get a percentage of it. And you think about that for a second. Personal performance shows what goes. Mango. Money talks and BS walks. You've heard that before. Well, here we go. Our corporate tax rate's 35%. Canada's 15%. Where are you going to do business? I'd move to Canada, too. I mean, if we drop that to, say, 20%, 15%. Now, 15% is what most people pay in taxes of their gross income right in that area when you're not making a lot. So you think about that and think about, you know, what would happen if somebody gave you that money back? Would that loosen you up a little bit? I'm sure it would. Make it a lot easier to put groceries on the table. You know, get to and from work. Might even be able to buy a car eventually. Might not be the greatest thing in the world, but it gets you to and from. And that'd free you up some more. You want to stimulate an economy, you do it two ways. First, you don't regulate it back into the Stone Age. Number two, you make sure that people have an opportunity on their own merit, what they're willing and capable of doing, to get ahead of themselves. Now, some people are going to be pushing the broom at Mickey D's or somewhere all their life. Some people refuse to take the bull by the horns and do something for themselves, let alone anybody else. And they figure that they're owed something. Well, no. Anybody thinks they're owed something, okay, if you're working, quit your job. I bet it don't take long before you get hungry. See, you're good looking, you know, unless you're really good looking, they ain't going to carry you too far. Next.
Can you just chime in a bit for the benefit of, we've got had a lot of new members to do with the taxes.
Okay.
Actually, it's not a tax. It's a tribute to the Crown of England, of which most of it goes to the 90% of it goes to Europe. So it's not a tax that you're paying. It's a tribute to the Crown of England. Right. A few days ago, Neil mentioned that the Clinton gang were attempting to illegally commandeer more funds in Indonesia. Have their attempts been scotched, or is this still an ongoing situation?
They're going to keep trying until we end it. But they're not being real successful, let's put it that way. too many people are watching, too many people are aware, and there are people in positions of power that would get downright nasty if need be. And these things have been in place since the get-go.
Yeah, this,
one of the first things that was one of the first things that Neil did was make sure that these people protected what was going on so that there couldn't be any question. Okay?
Yeah, this is why Neil keeps putting out the names of the elders, is it not?
Yes, that's part of it. The elders have before been hidden, secretive, and now that he's outing them, and he told them he was going to do this, that if they didn't comply, and these are not necessarily good guys or bad guys, these are just the elders, they're 100 and something of them total. Now, some of them have been stealing and selling stuff and getting personally well healed by it. This has got to stop, and that's one of the reasons Neil's doing what he's doing. The second part of it is that the good guys are going to try to make sure that the bad guys quit it. Now, it's a different world over there than it is here. And people that don't know the difference need to start looking into the culture to find out what the differentiations are. People have heard of losing a finger because you stole a loaf of bread or a hand or something like that. Well, that's the kind of justice that they still have in place there. So, you know, you see somebody that ain't got fingers, or they're missing some things, they did something. Now, it could have been a fight. That's possible, but not probable. So, yeah. Next.
What was the gold note that was posted by Neil a few days back, and what was the meaning behind posting it?
Well, I've got the website's got a bunch of pictures of boxes of notes. Usually they come in a sheet if they have been signified, I believe is the word, but I'm not sure that that's correct. At any rate, they take the sheets, just like you've seen on TV where the American money is cut, and they cut those with a real sharp blade. They cut them into individual forms. Well, that particular note is real. You can go to eBay and all these other places and get one for, I don't know, $5 or something. There is a validation process, and it's only known to the insiders. I know some of it, but not all of it. And one of those fake notes wouldn't get in the door. This note would not only pass, but they'd ask what kind of denomination you want the money in. They're printed in three or four different ways. Primary way is gold foil, and whether or not the foil is on something, I don't know. I have yet to visit a bunker. When I do, I'm going to find out what, you know, I want to take one and wad it up and see how it acts, just for my own personal benefit. So the significance, this is real. He's trying to show you that this is real, that he is and is doing what he says he's doing. I've checked. I didn't really trust Neil totally at first. Too many iffies out there. So I had him checked by people that were dealing with him. Now, these are people that are not necessarily the principal that Neil's dealing with, but friends of these guys, or people that are associates, or people that were in the room at the time, that sort of thing. And, he's been busy. Oh, really? Yeah, great guy. Okay. And I got several reports back like that, and then I talked to a couple of heads of banks, three finance ministers. And they were telling me that they liked what they were seeing, that the structure looked really good, and they you know, would like to participate. That sold me. And so showing you that note, he's trying to show you that it's real. Eventually, I'm going to see if I can get him and the others to agree to put those things in bulletproof containers or something and display them at certain banks so people can actually see what one looks like. So, go from there, okay?
Right, we're at the top of the hour, Drake. We'll be back in 8 minutes. Bye for now.
Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Oh, I wish I was in Dixie, away, away, in Dixieland I'll take my stand to live. Dixieland, it's where I was born. Early Lord, one frosty morn. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
Hi all, and welcome back to the final hour. I'd like to say a special hello to Grammy J. I know she's listening in at the moment. So, hi Grammy, and hope you're doing well. Drake, are we back for the final hour?
Yeah, I'm back.
I'm going to bring up something from the Facebook page that Tom Widler mentioned. He got a letter from Nancy Pelosi. That's sooner him than me, put it that way. And he said, I'll be blunt, if you don't step up, Rove's Obama bashing ad blitz is going to steamroller us. And this could not be more important. Your comments, please, Drake. Basically, they're saying the only way for the Democrats to win is impeach Obama.
I don't think that's going to work either. And no. I'll tell you why. and it's got to be made perfectly clear that these people have stolen out of accounts we paid into for our benefit. Basically, auxiliary accounts to Social Security. You paid for it. That is not an entitlement. But, yeah, you damn skippy. I'm entitled to something I paid for. You don't want to heave it up? Give me my money back. And, no, you don't get to say no. I don't give Nancy Pelosi a whole lot of credit. She is a serious problem, pretty much, in my estimation, right up there with Harry Reid. People that like to do stuff like that and whatnot. I mean, I don't want everybody to feel lonesome. I get letters from places like American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU. Well, I don't agree with those people very much, and I have made that perfectly clear. They send me some kind of horse hockey. I want $10 if you got it. And I, yeah, right. It'd be a cold day in Hades before you get $10 out of me. They do too many socialist, communist, fascist things, in my opinion. Just like Nancy Pelosi has violated her oath of office and committed acts of treason. Southern Poverty Law Center actually sends me letters once in a while. I mean, I'm kind of afraid to touch it for fear it might be contagious or something. I would tell everybody just go with the flow, don't worry about it. I'm about diversity the right way, not to dictate by Al Sharpton or Southern Poverty Law Center or Nancy Pelosi's grandiose ideas of, whoo, we do it like this and we got it. Yeah, right. Well, you're going to get it okay. I hope it's painful. Personally, I look at it like this. There are certain people that don't, in my opinion, deserve to be using up my oxygen. And she qualifies, along with Harry Reid and Obama and a few others. The situation is real simple. You'll note that a lot of these votes are along party lines. In other words, there's something objectionable in some portion of it. Well, the problem is this. If you don't want to be disowned by the party that you're supposedly adherent to, you toe the line. Just that simple. The headquarters says thou shalt and you do it. And that's basically what Nancy Pelosi does. She lays the law down to these people. I'm trying to keep this clean, so I better quit commenting.
Yeah. Two questions. Going forward, do we really need political parties?
Not really. You got to remember that there's a difference. I posted this on Facebook and made an issue out of it. We're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. You need to take a close look at that structure and understand how that works. And this is the difficult part, getting people into the position of keeping a lid on things who have an insurmountable amount of integrity, honesty, and can be trusted by anybody. That's the kind of people we need in our offices. And I include everything dog catcher up to the president in that. We need to get rid of all these backroom deals, side arrangements and agreements between people that you don't know what's going on. Trans-Pacific Partnership, the Atlantic Trade Treaty, it goes on and on and on. NATO thinks they're in charge of the world. They're not. Putin is over there thumbing his nose at them and throwing bear turds at them. They've tried to disqualify that man, and he's rubbed her nose in it each and every time. Okay, now, you can only take so much. And when you have an area, irrespective of where, that's populated by your people, and you have the capability of defending them from their own government and their own people, and they're using artillery, bombs, automatic fire against people that have never been armed in their life. Grandmas, kids, you don't go. Anyway, I think Putin should have done this sooner. I probably would have, but he wanted to make sure things were cool before he turned the heat back up again. And so, in order to get things under control, you got to do two things. You got to be righteous about what you're doing. And most people don't understand about righteousness. It's been touted by people who don't have a first clue as to the concept and what it really means and entails. Being righteous means being right, okay? Full spectrum. That means that you cannot take, the minority cannot take an individual's rights, but they're in the process of doing so. And the government is taking everybody's rights. And you got to think about this. You can win the presidential election by the number of popular votes and lose in the Electoral College because of the weight that carries. Well, there needs to be some adjustments, not necessarily total changes, but adjustments, so that the individual that the people not only want but know will do the job gets in there. In other words, you don't want a career politician because they're going to lie to you. It's the biggest liar's club in the world. They're going to lie to you, promise you stuff they never deliver on or can't. And they know they can't even when they make the promises. And, vote for me. I'll get you a chicken in your pot, and you don't got a pot, we'll take care of that too. You've heard it all. It's like a carny at the carnival hawking his wares. Well, same deal. Getting these things to where they're truthful. And I don't mean something that's extremely detailed. You don't got to go through the whole healthcare thing to understand that it's a piece of junk. All you got to do is look at the size of it, and you can understand that somebody has screwed it up. They piled it up. That thing's 4 foot 6 inches tall, the healthcare bill. They had it on a shop truck. Two-wheeled cart, four and a half inches tall, 4 foot, 6 inches tall. I mean, good Lord, you don't need that much. 20 pages probably would have done it. The plan that I offered was negated. Oh, you can't do that. Well, why not? You're doing it in the healthcare plan, or you're just charging everybody double. Yeah, that's right. I said double. People under a certain income shouldn't have to pay for their health care, okay? The prices that health care comes at need to be mitigated heavily. You don't charge 10 times the value of a procedure. I don't care who you think you are. Doctors, hospitals, hospices, clinics, you put that together in a coordinated effort, add a little mobility. Each area can have a fully equipped hospice RV. They're expensive, but you can also go out there and reach people who can't get out. They got no way to get there. And I've taken people to the hospital, to the doctor. They try to give me gas mounted up. I'll be damned. Buy me a cup of coffee and we're even. Okay. I'm not going to... when you apply a combination of common sense and physical responsibility to everything, we don't have any of these problems. Most of this is manufactured. What they're doing is they're trying to create a large embodiment of poor people, approximately two-thirds of the United States population. At the point that they get that to that point, if they're allowed to get that far, then the fight starts. Now, they're going to probably already try to take your guns. They're probably going to already try to take your property. They're probably going to already try to put you into a post-apocalyptic city of trash containers, and you get to live in one. That sort of shit, where it's iffy if you get any food that day, and the water's only a sometime deal, and the power only works for 3 hours a day. You want to live that way, you go right ahead. They start doing that, I'm going to make sure I got all my ammo with me, and we're going to go hunting. I ain't going to play that. Nobody should have to go through that sort of thing. Nobody should have police gunships with strobe lights or with searchlights on them flying around their house all night, gunfire going off, people killing each other, people running over you. I mean, you know, that's ridiculous. So, you know, like I say, there's going to have to be a lot of changes. Some of the old-fashioned stuff's going to have to come back into existence. And by old-fashioned, I mean equal, even protection under the law and respect. If you don't have that, you ain't got squat. Next.
And what we don't need is shareholders for basic necessities like utilities and healthcare.
Yep, exactly.
But that's what's screwing the system.
Well, the problem healthcare's got, and it's major, is that if you don't go through the a state brokerage system, you don't get the abatement, you don't get the refund, you don't get the help. And some 33 states don't have one or more. So Obamacare is done. Now, by that I mean instead of that $300 a month, $400 a month that you're talking for poor people, you could talk in a grand. I mean, not too many people can afford a grand a month. Not even somebody that's making pretty damn good. Not and still have anything at all. I mean, who wants to live in a garage or in your car because you got to have health care? Whose idea is it to have the Gestapo IRS, which is obviously a political organization and doesn't have any right to collect anything any more than a doorman? You know, they're going to show up with their SWAT team and collect your butt because you ain't got health care? Really? We're gonna add to your tax. Dude, I'm figuring my tax, I'm going to cut a check for that amount. Screw with me and I'll visit your office, and we can bring hand grenades or whatever you'd like. We can just have a great old party. I mean, it's at the point where that's going to be the choice. You either want to have a stand-up battle, gunfight to the death with a whole bunch of these mothers, or you want to work on getting freedom now. This is why I'm trying to get people to stand up. This is how critical it is. We don't got a hell of a lot of time, and I'm telling you, stand up or, you know, it's simple. Join or die. They will eventually kill you. That's just how, you know, I mean, I hate that. I mean, this country's better than that. The people are a whole hell of a lot better than that. We deserve better than that. People need to be able to have a future. People need to be able to have hope. Families, whatever they want. People should be able to be mobile, you know, as much as they feel like they want to be. So I'll get off the pulpit.
Given the circumstances, if these banks close for a few days and gives the corporation the excuse to announce martial law, which military are we going to be dealing with, the light or the dark?
Well, you're not. System's already in place. Logistics are complete. Tactical capabilities are set. What that means is this. It would take a total idiot to declare martial law. The problem they've got is they have to piss enough people off, such as Ferguson and other places. And, you know, it went countrywide. that protest. And I don't disagree with the ideology of the protest, because it's rampant all over the country. It's not necessarily any particular individuals, mostly, but it's a minority. The majority of the cops want to simply get things done, take care of problems, go home. They don't want to, you know, be killing people and breaking bones and all that. The problem is this. They want to get us mad enough, however they got to do that, to where we decide that we're going to go take out the police and the mayor and the dog catcher and all them people down there in them offices. When we start to do that, there's going to be a gunfight between us and the police. They have calculated that the police will have 100% casualties. That's the calculation. In other words, we the people outnumber the police like crazy. They're not going to be able to dodge all them bullets. Once he goes down, he's done. And then you got, you know, 15, 20 people per cop, and you got maybe 200-400 people that are mad, and they go to the mayor's house next and drag him out kicking and screaming in his underwear, if he wears underwear. these kinds of scenarios, at that point, then you're looking at martial law being declared. Now, here's the other part of that. A lot of the people that are in charge of the military won't turn on the people. They're going after the bad guys, the ones that ordered the martial law. They're going to go collect them. There's a whole bunch of people that are still in position not only to do that, but are more than willing to do so. Even though they with a straight face said, yeah, I'll shoot Grandma in the butt, no problem. I Junior can die too, no matter to me. You just tell me who you want me to kill, kind of thing. That's that question. Will you open fire on the general public? Oh, of course I will. Ain't nobody going to tear up our country. Well, problem is that about somewhere between 70 and 80%, 85% of the military is on our side, meaning that they're going to turn it the other way suddenly. This is already in place, already agreed to. And the officers that can make it happen, they're waiting for the list to be completed of people that they're going to go after. When that list is complete, then they're going to come out. Now, they said that they might want to try to delay it a bit, but they're also very tired of politicians telling them how to do their jobs, supposedly. Most generals and upper crust officers I find are pretty much like politicians anyway, so I'm not sure it makes a difference. But rules, regs, how you operate, that sort of thing, they want their reputation back. They're tired of being touted as the Black Army or the shadow government that nobody knows about. You know, I'm the mayor of Toledo, really. You look like a private to me. Well, you know, you can play fear porn all you want, but that's the reality. That's supposedly the reality. And I checked on it about 2 weeks ago, and it was verified to me, so I'm good with it so far. Now, here's the thing. Everybody's bought all the guns and ammunition that they can afford, and gun sales and ammunition sales are going down a little bit, considerably. And so now would be the time, if you want to buy a lot of ammo, go do it. While it's inexpensive and plentiful. Pretty soon, you're going to find, well, the AK-47 is illegal now. Is it? Not according to the Dick Act. Sorry, dude. But, what do you mean it's fully automatic? Well, ain't your M16 fully automatic? Well, yeah, but I'm a policeman. I said, yeah, but I'm a citizen. So what? Little badges don't mean nothing. Here's the deal. The police are rent-a-cops, whether anybody realizes this or not. They're private security working for a corporation. Oops. That means that they're not allowed to enforce the law, period. They're allowed to protect certain assets, and that's it. And this has gone through the courts in several places. A couple of police departments I know of were closed down. under this. So, you know, it depends on what we want to accomplish. I don't want to close the police department down. I'd rather have them fooling around in the middle of the night than me have to stay up and chase somebody or whatever. I'm not in real good shape anyway. The thing that I'm looking at is this. If, and this is the deal, if everybody was to stand up, who can, some of those who can't, and went about this correctly, we could turn this around in, I don't know, 4 or 5 days to a point where everything started getting negotiated. Well, let's see, we got to do this law like this. Yeah, but all them other laws, they got to go. Okay. Because they don't mean anything. The EPA is a regulatory agency. What's a regulation? It's a rule. That's it. According to them, it's law. It ain't. Constitution is law. Statutes, municipal ordinances, all that happy stuff, that's chaff in the wind, blows away. Negated, scrubbed, gone as if it was never there. The people that are incarcerated for nonviolent crimes who really didn't do anything to anybody, they're going to have to be set free. Pretty simple. I mean, they don't get, you know, we're going to put a lot of these for-profit prisons and for-profit school systems out of business. Some of them need to be in where the prisoners are, in my opinion. But it's an extremely, extremely convoluted. It's like a big knot in a ball of string, or you go to cast your fishing rod and find out that the kids have been playing with it and it'll never cast again, kind of thing. A big glob of whatever. Next,
there's been talk of the poop hitting the fan on September the 2nd, is it?
It's possible. Let's see here. We only got just a few days. It's possible, but it depends on what kind of turds you're talking about. You talking about light brown, dark brown, stinky or non? I mean, there's, you know, it's been hitting a fan in small chunks over the period that I've been involved over the last 4 years or whatever it is, in terms of being on the radio. The things that people, what about us? Well, if you cut the legs out from under somebody, they don't tool around too well, as should have happened in Ferguson. You shoot the guy in the leg and he's going to fall down. If you don't fall down, shoot him again in the same leg when he starts limping real bad, and yet he's still coming, shoot him in the other leg. Make it impossible for the boy to walk if it's going to be down to that. If the guy gives up, you take him into custody. You don't just empty your clip into him. That's horse hockey. That's ridiculous. Anybody does that needs to be charged with a crime for doing so. And I mentioned wrongful death, abuse of authority, inappropriate use of deadly force. I mean, there's a lot of things that goes into this. And I don't know how they're going to justify anything less than some sort of charges for the guy. I really don't. I mean, just because a guy's big and cracks your head does not give you the right to kill him. It don't work that way. And yet the police have decided that the Wild West is applicable. So, you know, go from there. I mean, anyway, next.
Drake, you have a lot of international listeners. My question is, before the shit hits the fan, would some manpower from other countries be welcome in aiding the American people in this fight? And if so, what would be the steps in doing that? Where would we stay? What would we do? And who would be waiting for us at the airport?
I tell you what. You put your application in, like Dr. Nadu said, and if it's applicable, we'll figure something out on all that. I mean, at the worst, I may have somebody stand with me. I don't know yet. So a lot of this has not been formulated. I'm waiting until, actually after Labor Day, except when everything's supposed to go in the toilet. I'm waiting until then before I may be free to travel as I need. So we'll find out. I'm going to find out more as this starts coming to fruition. But right now, fill out the application, and tell them that you're ready to go. Anybody, it doesn't matter your nationality, because the diversification or diversity here in the States is tremendous. You can be Muslim and still work with us, because there's no anti-belief involved in it. It's just simply that everybody knows what sin is, and everybody knows what an infidel is. It's been explained to you. You got problems along those lines that affect other people, and generally it'll affect a bunch of them, or efforts towards negating the population in whatever form, then that person should be taken into custody and held accountable for their actions on a personal basis, no matter who they are, what office they hold. And that's basically, you know, forget lopping off heads. That's horse hockey. it'd be much more fun to put them in a place that wasn't heated very well, that the plumbing was iffy and didn't and it was not cool in the summertime. Didn't have no screens. Let the skeeters chew on them. You know, might even bring in a few rats or something from some of these subway systems just to keep them company. I don't intend to treat somebody nice. Not at all. Okay?
Right. Let me see. Why were the National Guard in Ferguson? Does this have something to do with the impending mass arrests, or are they there to watch the obvious DHS cabal psyops?
Try door number three. Ferguson Police Department was overmatched, meaning that they couldn't handle the crowds. So they asked for reinforcements, and the National Guard was the reinforcements, basically. In other words, the ideology, as they call it, is crowd control. Well, the crowd would have been under control if the kid had not been shot in such a manner that it forfeited his life. That's pretty simple and very obvious. I've dealt with a lot of cops, I'm going to tell you right now, and some of the work that I did, I'd come out looking like a black man, and I'm white. I'd be funky, and I'd be driving along trying to get home, and somebody stopped me for some reason or another. sometimes just a general check, which they're not supposed to do, but want to know about it. So I just got done working, man. What'd you do? I said, I framed up some stuff in an attic. Man, can't you see? Look at me. I'm funky nasty. And, yeah, I can see you're funky nasty and all that. Hey, check, see if you're wanted for anything. You wanted for anything? Hi, see you later. I have been caught doing things wrong. I had the wrong plates on a vehicle. And the cop said, where do you live? I told him, about two blocks over that way and a block to the left. All right, here's how it is. You take this thing home, park it, and do not drive it until you get plates. I said, yes, sir. I had to go make the money. My other truck broke, so I didn't have a choice. I had to drive this thing. So, and the guy said, really? I said, yeah. So, you know, he turned me loose. And I was in clear violation. The idea of a police officer is to maintain the peace, make sure somebody's not intentionally trying to do something wrong, whether it's some of that nature or to somebody else, to make sure that the violence does not cause bodily injury to anybody, if possible. The idea of rioting is the worst thing somebody can do. That's why I do not recommend it under any circumstances. Now, I understand the difference between being noticed and not being noticed and getting a voice and not having one. I understand that difference. But there are ways that you can definitely get the attention of somebody and be totally nonviolent. I've stressed that. Next.
News this week that the Pentagon broke the law with the Bergdahl deal. Will this finally open the Freedom Pipeline?
A little bit, yes. There's a lot of things that they have to deal with right now in terms of those kind of problems. That's only one of several that I'm aware of. They're being dealt with very concisely and very permanently so that they don't have problems of that nature. Okay?
Gordon Duff, in a recent radio program, said the Drudge Report and Alex Jones were Israeli agents working for the Cabal. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, he's right, to an extent. And what's done is they mix enough truth in to get your attention and get you to listen, and then they bend it, put a spin on it, or whatever you want to call it. It don't sound like it at the time, but yeah. Alex Jones is an ambulance chaser, would be a good description of him. Oh, man, we got to get upset about this. We got to do that. You know, you've heard him. Seems, you know, Drudge Report can be very, very, very right on. Some of their reports I've actually published because they were so concise and correct. At other times, they come off like some kind of socialist problem. So it varies with the Drudge Report. Alex, he's just trying to maintain an audience and doing the best he can. Now, Glenn Beck is married into the Jewish community, and that makes a big difference in a person's life, believe me. Now, I have to say this. There's nothing wrong with being associated with any faith or belief system, no matter what it is. It depends on what it is and what portion of it is used for what purpose. If it's to alleviate suffering, if it's to take care of people, if it's to offer the comfort and whatnot that the belief systems are supposed to offer, I got nothing against it, because there's way too much suffering and problems and nasty feelings out and about. So, you know, if they're doing that, no matter what they are, I got no problem with it, okay?
Right. This is to Lynn Lincoln. As far as I know, a few more have volunteered, but not many. I presume you're talking about SICE. There has been a few more who have volunteered, but not many and not sufficient. Drake, there are rumors...
I'm going to get on some places, just to let everybody know, and see whether or not I can't make some contacts. Now, these people got to know something right off the top. The first contact will be public, so that we can coordinate meeting at a place or something of this nature. And, yes, I can travel. I hope I don't want to travel from here to California in my Jeep. That's a long trip. But I'm willing to meet somebody like halfway or, you know, some of this nature. I would like to start this on the East Coast here for several reasons, but the main thing is this. From then on, after that first public contact, from then on, whomever I deal with will be on a personal basis in places I know that are secure. And by secure, I mean absolutely secure. There's no way they can listen, eavesdrop, or get a hold of what we're talking about, period. I won't have that. So be assured that first initial contact will be public. After that, we'll go from there. Okay?
Yes. There are rumors that there are a lot of international economies waiting on the global reset, and the U.S. is the key to it all. How much support is out there? There are still people in the IMF and other key areas that need a jumpsuit and cuffs.
Yeah. But we got a new IMF. We got a new World Bank. We got a new coalition that's beginning to actually do something. 180 nations? That sound cool? Think about it. Yeah, there's a lot of little countries, but collectively, the majority of the world is for what we're looking to do. Now, the reset's going to be the cleansing, basically, and reinitiating things, as I said, open, honest, and all that. Okay?
Just to make it clear for the new members, there cannot surely be a reset without the removal of the people involved, i.e. Cabal.
Absolutely. Amen, brother.
Yep. And also, there can't be an RV without a reset either. Or people ask about the dinar and dong and all that.
Well, I've told people about that. It's going to be difficult to accomplish if they decide to do it at all. It would be less expensive and quicker to just simply negate the present currency and reissue a new currency. So you might get stuck. Now, hopefully they're not going to do that here. My understanding is they're going to exchange Federal Reserve notes, removing them from the market by replacing them with an American dollar. That's a bit, and I think that most places will probably do that. Okay?
Yeah. While we're on the Dean Arsamont's posed a question. Have the people that bought originally actually made a profit to date? And if so, the Iraqi dinar went up in value when a load of people heard about it and rushed to buy it, therefore allowing someone who bought a large amount earlier to make a huge profit in selling the dinars on. So is this a currency scam for the cabal to get money from the gullible masses who are not in the know?
It's a combination of both, and the combination is tricky. In terms of definition, in terms of actuality and reality, the things are worth a few cents on the dollar, if that. And yes, it's gone up, but then again, now you got problems, so it's probably going back down again. That's the problem with this. Currencies are volatile, very extremely volatile. You get one nut with a hand grenade, and you can screw up the whole economy. Okay?
All right. Kerry Cassidy has posted on her site that Flight 17 was shot down by the Russians. Can you comment on this, please, Drake? I think this is information is to do with what Simon Park said. It was a virus plane.
Flight 17.
One that went down over Ukraine.
Well, I already put that out. It was the Ukrainian government that shot it down. They thought it was Putin. Now, that if that don't tell you what these people are willing to do, no matter who it affects, and they just go whoops and don't mention it again, what do you think they're going to do to the rest of us? Now, I want you to bear in mind, they're using military artillery and airstrikes against their own people. I mean, good Lord, I mean, you know, if they started out here, you would have a revolution, period. Everybody grab their guns and all their ammo and survival kits or boogie bags, and they go hunting. Just that simple. And I tell you right now, there's about 100 million people that would be in that group. Also, you're going to have a whole shitload of the good military people after the guys that did it, the bad guys, if they were able to pull that off. Now, they've been trying false flags and have been stopped each and every time. One of the reasons that the markets are moving out of New York is partly the financial or business capabilities are lesser in New York than they are where they're going. That's part of it. The other part is that they were told to leave. They're getting ready to do another number on New York City. Now, what that is exactly, I haven't found out yet. I'm supposed to be apprised of that over the next few days. And whether I'll be able to share it is questionable. I don't want to screw up the capability to negate it. And so this is one of the reasons that I got a load of information that I can't share for those reasons. I mean, do you want a nuclear bomb to drop in your backyard? I don't want that to happen to you. I wouldn't even do that to Nancy Pelosi, and I don't really like her very much. So, you know. Next.
Are there nuclear explosive devices in Israeli embassies throughout the United States, Drake?
Well, I heard that there was a variety of weapons here, and then I did some checking and found out that Mossad was full of it. And I do mean it with a shh in front of it. A lot of what you hear is psyops, psychological operations, meaning that they want you to believe a certain specific thing. This is why all the lies by NATO and the Ukrainian government about what's been going on. Now, the Ukrainian government is just about to collapse. It's very close. The Ukrainian government does not have the pull with the financial entities necessary to keep it going. The man announced he's going to spend $3 billion. Well, good luck getting that loan. Now that Russia has decided to make their move, I don't think you're going to get it. They're already short ammunition and food and water. People are leaving the country fast as they can go to get out of the way of the destruction and whatnot. And so, you know, even the military, the desertion rate is tremendous. Over the past few days, they're talking about reinitiating the draft. They can't get people to sign up. Well, that's an interesting deal, isn't it? Can't get people to sign up to protect your own country? What are you protecting? What are you really protecting? Is it the military obligation to protect the oligarchs, the banks, and those who are supposedly in power? Or what? These are the questions that need to be answered. And, like, you know, what's with this? What is with these trade deals or banking deals that take all your rights away? Total sovereignty of the country is in the hands of the European Union Council. Your finances, all of them, are under their control. Central banks got control. I mean, where does that leave the average person? They're, you know, standing on the corner blinking, wondering what happened. Well, I don't intend for our country to have those problems. Yeah, we're gonna have some things go on, but I don't want it to go to the extent where we've got an honest to God civil war, if I can help it. And we've done a whole bunch of things that should prevent that. Okay.
Is the Matrix actively attacking those of us who are awake and aware of the evil entity's agenda, because our awareness is a major threat to the Matrix existence?
Let's see here. I would say yes and no, and I'll qualify that. The Matrix is the setting of conditions within which you find yourself. That's the, quote, personal, local matrix. You then have one that's global. That's where all the fun and games come in. Then you have one that encompasses our universe, not just our galaxy, but our universe. So it's basically a three-tiered deal. You can add layers to it, where a country has a certain attitude, et cetera. But it's up to the individual to decide what is and what is not to be. Now, if the Matrix in and of itself is programmed to be resistant to changes, then you have a controlling factor. From what I know of the Matrix, you got to keep after it. It's like something like a machine that's haunted or something. I had a washer that would actually jump on you, unless you kicked it occasionally. And it acted that way. The guy that I gave it to, I gave it away. I didn't want to sell that thing. I gave it away. The guy I gave it to says, "What do you do to control that thing?" I said, "Kick it." "Oh, is that what them dance are?" "Yeah, man, just give it a good swift kick. It'll act all right for a while. Just keep an eye on it." And he said, "I don't want to babysit the laundry." I said, "Well, I'll just kick it and tell it to behave, or you'll come down there and kick it again." "Oh." He said, I talked to him a few days later. He said, "Hey, that works pretty good." So I guess machines can be haunted by the Matrix or whatever, and the Matrix would do something similar to that, you know, doing its own thing irrespective of everything else. Okay?
You and machines don't seem to work, Drake, with your computer as well.
Well, now, my computers don't like me very much because I'm smarter. And I don't hesitate to put knuckle bump dings in its cabinet. My old one, this one old computer I had was, it looked like somebody had beat the living whatever out of it. And I did. Every time it would screw up, I'd dump that sucker. You either act right or I'm going to get the gun out and end you. It'd act right for about, no, 3-4 days, and I have to do it again. It's just, I learned a long time ago when I was a little kid. I used to read a lot of my parents' textbooks and recommended readings. Psychology and esoteric knowledge was one of the books I read. Little known things that really make a difference was one of the books I read. And what these things understand is that everything has a personality, and it may not be something that's mindful, like self-aware or any of that, but it's like a cantankerous car. I had one of those. You had to walk around and kick it in the driver's side front and the passenger side rear, get in, that thing would start fine. If you didn't do that, you could almost hear it laughing at you trying to start it. It was just one of them odd, you know, it's like hitting a mule over the head with a 2x4 to get its attention kind of thing. And that's the same way with the washer. I've had a few appliances that really loved me.
Right. I'm going to fit this last question in, but we've only got 90 seconds left. I thought we'd end on this one. If thoughts create reality and what we see is a projection from within ourselves, surely all we have to do is realize we are co-creators and the world will change in an instant.
That's possible as long as you get everybody on the same page, at the same frequency, and do it at the same time. Those are the three basic requirements to that as I understand it. That does not mean that the individual cannot take it upon themselves to make their own personal environment happier. It's been several years since I've had cantankerous machines to deal with. I joke about my computer. Actually, it does a fine job. The new one I got, and the old one I gave it to somebody, and they're having a good time with it. It's not, you know, acting up or anything. So it depends on the individual's capability to understand and their capability to make a perception, an idea, a dream, or changes that they'd like to see a reality by refusing to allow anything else. And that's basically where it's at. All these things are in my books. If you want to know how it works, basically, it doesn't get into a lot of exceptional detail, but it gives you the gist of it in such a manner that anybody with any educational background can follow it. Okay?
Okay. That's about it, Drake. If you want to say your final piece.
Get her done.
Right. Thanks for that, Drake. And we'll be back next week. We may have some extra shows coming up, depending on the calls when I get a chance to make them, to Simon Parks and Ray Kozolandic. Due to the Gene Haynes issues this week, it's being pushed to the back burner. But now it seems to have died down. I'll recharge efforts and get that done for you this week. My name's Thomas Williams. We'll be back next week. I hope you enjoy this song, John. It's for you.